live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Email Marketing Today. This is episode 15. With me today in the studio, we have the trifecta back together, Ross Kramer.
Hi,
Ross.
Hey, Brent.
And Matt Elliott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Brent. Good to be back.
Yeah, and you were just out at the Opera America conference last week in Houston, Texas. How'd things go?
That's correct, Brent. Yeah, I was out there. I actually spoke on a panel about email marketing, and the theme of the conference was making Opera relevant again in these days, and you know, in this day and age. And we had some really good discussion on our panel about the use of email as a promotional tool and also as a retention tool for bringing subscribers into your Opera House. And a lot of the ideas you could really just parlay into just about any vertical or any industry where you're really trying to reach out to people and bring them into your online store, bring them into your venue, whatever your goal is. I mean, a lot of the concepts were the same. But gentleman Rick Lester from TRG Arts had a really vociferous argument. I mean, a real boisterous argument about the fact that so many people, and especially in their industry, in the opera industry, were getting it wrong and spending way too much time prospecting and not capitalizing on their existing user base.
Uh-huh.
And so his idea was, and they had demonstrated this through a lot of research with some of the opera houses that they had worked directly with in terms of, you know, trying to improve their marketing and their growth rates and whatnot. And his goal and his discussion was about, you know, retention is really the key. You spend so much money acquiring all these people, and it costs a lot more to even get more people, but it doesn't cost nearly as much to continue communicating with those people that you've already established a relationship with. Now the key is improving that relationship.
I'm sure that conversation was extremely kind of timely and relevant and important because of the economy, especially to that business, you know, to that industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're really struggling. And what was interesting was, as soon as he said that, it's like, you guys are all doing it wrong. It's like everybody's eyes perked up and, you know, their ears perked and everybody was paying attention and listening. And what he said had a lot of validity. And that is, you have all this data in your system. You have such a great platform in a channel of email where you can utilize that data to deliver really relevant messaging. And he talked about how to, in their terms, how to use that data to convert people from like silver level memberships up to the gold level, up to the platinum level, and really working deeply into that relationship to embody them and bring them into the fold and build advocates so that they continue to upgrade. Because once you've got them in, it's a lot easier. And this, their research proved this out, that they did with the Cincinnati Opera House. And the research proved out that once you've got these people in, it's a lot easier to convert them to, you know, premium upgrades than it was to bring new people in and keep them. And his other point about the prospecting end of it was that they, in their research, found that a lot of opera houses were successful in prospecting and bringing people in using the email channel and their other marketing efforts, but they had a huge drop off in people that came back.
Hmm.
And he goes, and why is that? And their research indicated that people weren't inviting them back. They were bringing them in and ending the relationship at that point and wondering why they weren't continuing to grow. And they didn't have a real good program to continually invite them back. And then that, so that was his point about, you know, build the relationship. And you could take that down the line into just about any relationship with any consumer business. Right, Ross?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, Matt, what their posture was towards interactive. You know, opera to me feels like something that's more of an older generation, older population demographic type of thing. What was the group's kind of posture to interactive marketing?
It was actually very positive, and I think just over time that the writing has become so apparently on the wall that interactive is where your audience is now. And they talked about the death of print ads, and they really were, again, stressing the importance of direct marketing instead of just advertising in what they were calling dinosaurs and relics, such as newspapers and magazines, and really understanding the key value of interactive marketing. And you can see it, like our local movie house is actually showing the New York Met Opera, and it's a program that the opera industry has come across with. It's called like Opera in Your Backyard, bringing things that are normally only accessible to city dwellers you know, people that are near, you know, large cities that would actually have an opera house to, you know, the outlying areas and via electronic transmission into a movie theater or some other venue like that.
Sounds like the invitation, education, engagement challenge that they have in front of them would be perfectly suited for an event-triggered series of campaigns to try to get them exposed, and through additional exposure breeds sort of familiarity, and they become a little bit more familiar and comfortable attending something that they probably wouldn't normally attend.
And that's exactly the point of the first presenter on our panel talked about how their software, and they have an opera house ticketing and CRM software that has that capability built in so that they could track tickets that are redeemed. They knew where people sat, and they could build triggered campaigns off of that and say, you know, do you want to upgrade your seats from this? How is your view from this? And I mean, they would immediately hit them the next day following the opera, you know, how was your experience?
And upsell opera glasses.
Exactly.
Cross-sell opera fudge. Do they sell fudge at the opera? Is opera fudge sold at the opera?
That's a very good question. We'll have to find out. But yeah, there was a lot of relevant topics. And even though it was, you know, a very specific niche audience, the concepts were all just something you could just really just take the word opera house out of and just plug in another vertical or another industry. And the concepts are just all so apparently the same down the line.
Did you find these guys generally using Firefox, IE, Chrome, or what's the other browser that they might have been using?
Oh, Opera, maybe?
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
I'm sorry. Friday afternoon. I'm getting hit with it here.
But going back to your conversation idea, I mean, as far as an educational conversation, you know, when you're talking about bringing in new people into the fold, a new audience, and you know, educating them on opera and on what this, you know, what the upcoming opera, where, you know, where the history is there, and just kind of informing new members to kind of bring them into the fold.
Yeah, and that was what a lot of the discussions in some of the other sessions were about, you know, how do you make opera relevant?
Right.
And how do you get people more involved and more in tune with it? And so, yeah, there was a lot of that discussion, which kind of leads me into another thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, once you've come up with that strategy, how are you going to deliver that message so that it gets acted on and read upon and read and acted on? And we had a webinar this week with Stefan Tornquist from Marketing Sherpa, and he talked about benchmarks and, you know, other metrics in the email industry. But some of the things he talked about that are kind of relevant to what we're talking about now is engaging your audience. And what are those things, you know, he was quoting a lot of numbers as to, you know, what the average engagement rate is for different types of emails and industries and whatnot. But he did talk about some stats that they found. And that is that the top two inches of your email marketing message are the most important.
Which would be about 250 pixels, 250 to 300 pixels.
Right, which is what we talk about in our own white paper.
Exactly.
And best practices for email design is that your call to action, your main message really needs to fall inside that if you want to make sure it's viewed by each person. And if it's an image-based call to action or message, what are you going to do if that image is blocked? And so really taking all those pieces into account to make sure that your message is being viewed and your primary call to action is available for the recipient to act on.
And he had some great points as far as the minimizing the amount of call to actions. You know, the smaller the amount of call to actions you have, the higher the data that he was showing, the higher the conversion rate and the higher the click-through rate on that specific call to action. So that's why you have to be really careful. You know, as much as we talk about pre-headers, you really have to be careful of overstuffing that area and, you know, going crazy with what you're doing in that pre-header area, because you want to make sure you've got enough room to have key call to action within that real estate.
Sounds like it's going back to the landing page, Tim Ash's landing page webinar, you know, where the whole concept of landing pages is to get somebody to do what you want them to do, which is essentially take away as many options.
Right.
You know, take away the top nav, take away the left nav, yep. Just get them to fill out the form.
Yeah, so many times you have people that feel the need to kind of duplicate the website as it is, you know, take the navigation. I want to, yeah. And, you know, that's not really necessary in an email most of the time. You know, you want to make sure that you're reducing those options.
The distractions. It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like taking my kid to church. If I want them to pay attention to what's going on in church, do I want to bring a bag full of crowns and books and other things that will distract them from the message? or do I want to take away all that outside stimuli and let them pay attention? And, you know, where the only focus is what's going on in the actual service. And it's really kind of the same way with your landing pages. If you're providing too many distractions, invariably your people that are coming into that landing page are going to get distracted. And Tim's webinar talked about that. And in fact, Stefan did talk about that as well in his webinar about the importance of the landing page. You know, you spend all this time building great creative and a great messaging platform and strategy. Don't lose them when they click through if you have a poorly designed landing page strategy. And again, you know, Tim's webinar is available on our website for download and provides a lot of information in that space. Now, the quote that Stefan had was that, you know, that the number of required actions will greatly diminish your return on the amount of click-throughs that you'll get. And the graph that he had was like 60% of messages, the primary call to action is clicked on. But when there are multiple action points.
And with each one.
I mean, it looked like a sharp cliff, is a really sharp cliff. By the time you got to like the fourth or fifth action point, you know, your response rate was down in like the single digits.
Now, Matt, was he talking like e-tail or newsletters or, you know, sort of, are we talking like e-direct or are we talking kind of newsletters and editorial stuff?
It actually kind of applied to both, but in that particular one, it was where your intended audience, you know, where the goal was to get them to
do something.
And so those numbers will vary, obviously, like in a newsletter format where you have multiple articles with like click here to read more, you know, teaser articles, and you have click here to read more. You know, people are expecting to have additional click-throughs. But they even found in that, I mean, the research showed that even in those instances, you know, your click-through rate just dropped off dramatically the further you got down through the content.
I think another good topic that Stefan talked about was the difference in metrics. And when you look at different ESPs out there and you look at your open rate, for example, you talked about how you can see this very wide difference just depending on how that rate is calculated. And we talked about how we calculated based on that an image being in the email and being able to see that image, it's a hidden image, or a click actually occurring on the email. And that's how we can look at it. Now, different ESPs will look at it just based on that image being viewed. Others will calculate it based off of the sent number rather than against the delivered as we do. So there's a number of different ways that, you know, your metrics, even though it's kind of labeled the same, can be calculated.
Right, yeah, because he did, that was one of the primary stats he showed was what was the percentage of e-marketers that looked at the number of opens over the number of sent versus the number of opens over the number of delivered. And basically 3/4 of the respondents that they had queried said that they used opened over delivered. And he asked how we did it, and I mentioned that we do the same. And the reason being is that we see it as a measure of engagement. And so obviously you're not engaging anybody you're not delivering to. So you really want to look at, of those emails that we did deliver, how did our message perform in terms of getting them to open it? And then, you know, looking at the next one, okay, now of those that we delivered, what was our success rate in getting them to click on something within it? And that allows you then to do some real analysis. As long as it's consistently done throughout your entire email program, you have a benchmark to work off of, and then you can say, are our subject lines working? You know, are our offers working? And you can look at, you know, basically using that as a benchmark over time to see how you're doing. So the other thing that Stefan was talking about and did some analysis on was understanding that open rate is dependent on images being rendered, and that the fact that, you know, so many email, we talk about this a lot, how many email clients out there don't render images by default, and some tactics that you could use in those times when your images don't render, and talked about, you know, the tried and true, make sure you use alt tags within your, you know, behind your image so that when your images don't display, that there is something there other than a red X. And a lot of times that can be an actionable click.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing in the industry right now is it's becoming more and more difficult to really gauge your open rate. And, you know, we have the read rate, which is open for 5 seconds or more. That's unique to us. But it's growing more difficult, especially with the portability of email, with, you know, email now on cell phones and, you know, everybody, you know, having a BlackBerry or some type of mobile device, and the BlackBerry is not going to render. that, you know, that image. So it's difficult. And so, you know, you really can't be sure. You can be sure of the click-through rate. You know, that's one thing that we know that we can be sure of. And I think that's one thing that you're surely trying to get your, you know, get your audience to, you know, to understand. So I think for many folks, it's kind of getting, it'll get probably worse for a little bit before it gets better, until some of these mobile devices have proper HTML rendering, you know, like the iPhone.
It's not just the mobile. It's you know, the online email clients, Yahoo, MSN, Gmail,
images,
where it's by default set to not show images. He had a great, Stefan had a great example, though, of a message where it had an extremely high open rate because the message was, I think it was a weekly graph. And that's all really that the message was. It was a, you know, a big graph, and they, you know, talked a little bit about that graph, but had an extremely high open rate because everyone that got it wanted to see that big image. So
let's convert this podcast to just a weekly graph.
That's a great idea. That would be hilarious. But his real point was, and he did recognize, and that's one of the things he wanted to mention, was that, you know, open rate is such a, it depends kind of, you know, measurement. It depends what your subject line was. It depends who your recipients are. It depends on a lot of things. But what it does give you is a measurement, an internal benchmark over time. So you can see, are we lifting it or are we lowering it for our list, for our email campaigns?
Exactly.
Instead of looking at it across an industry or, you know, benchmarking against other people, benchmark against yourself. You know, from campaign to campaign, how are we doing? Are we losing engagement or are we gaining engagement? And, you know, really looking at the open line is just kind of an awareness stat. Are people aware of what we're doing because they're seeing it, or are they not? And then the click-through rate really being a measurement of engagement and activity. Are they engaged in what we're delivering, and are they acting upon it?
And we talked last week quite a bit about engagement with some of the new features that we have in ListTrack as far as being able to profile based off of last open date or last click date. And just be aware or be on the lookout. Megan is currently writing a new white paper on engagement, an exciting white paper. So be on the lookout for that coming here real soon.
That's why we're getting all those bridal magazines and other things.
Okay. How to get engaged through email marketing.
That's right.
Now, if you missed the Stefan webinar, unfortunately, we weren't able to record the Marketing Sherpa webinars. The information is copyrighted by Marketing Sherpa, but we do have two more webinars coming up, two more parts of the series, the next one being on May 20th from 1 to 2, and you can register for that out on our website. The title for that one is Welcome Messages and Welcome Series.
Really looking forward to that one. Based on the response from this past Wednesday's webinar and the information that Stefan was able to share, this should be a really exciting webinar as well. And as he mentioned, you know, this is the welcome message is your primary first piece of communication and brand impression with your recipients. And when done right, it can do great things for your email program. And when done wrong, it can really, you know, just mess up an email program. And he's going to bring in a lot of information and stats on just, you know, what are some really good best practices and how do you run a really good welcome messaging campaign?
The other thing to note was we had a bit of a sort of service pack to our 4.5 launch.
That's right.
The feature didn't quite make it. We were having some, a little bit of technical issues.
About 2 days behind.
Yeah, trying to get the feature, but it was one of the features that were most requested. It's our visual overlay, where we overlay a heat map on top of the HTML creative and you know, plot where people are clicking through. That can now be exported and saved out to PNG format. Which a lot of folks had asked for that. Sort of a tricky type of thing, the way that we were doing it through JavaScript and DHTML and AJAX and every other technology to make that happen. But that's out there now. There's a little save icon on that visual overlay report. So for anybody that's listening and that likes to use that, you can now export it and put it into your PowerPoints and your graphs. Perhaps you have some sort of communication where you just have a graph and you'd like to insert that. Now you can.
Well, it looks like we've come to the end of our time here today. Thanks, Ross and Matt, for joining me here again in the studio. And thank you all for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brett. Take care, guys.